You know, that is quite a powerful song. Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? When we are born in this world, we are slaves. You don't become you're not born a child of God, you become one. The Bible says that God wants to remove us from the kingdom of darkness and bring us over into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His Son whom He loves, through whom we have the redemption of our sins, through His blood. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to say thank You today that we have this privilege that we no longer have to be slaves. That we have this privilege that through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we truly have been redeemed, set free, delivered. That we have a new inheritance in high heavenly places. And that a new life has been made available to us. Lord, in Your word You say, the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that You might have life and that You might have it more abundantly. Lord, we want to thank You for abundant life. And we thank You, Lord, that You are well able to deal with the thief in our lives. We praise You, we glorify You, we exalt You for who You are. Truly, Lord, You are the Holy One of Israel. Truly, Lord, You are the Almighty Lord of heaven and earth. We bless Your holy name. We glorify You and we praise You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Did you enjoy the worship? Please give the Lord a big hand. You know, while this last song was playing, probably while all the worship was going, the anointing and the presence and the power of God began to move in this place. There is a scripture in the Bible that says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Look at your neighbor and say, heaviness is a spirit. Have you ever thought of it that way? You know, sometimes we have this thing, oh, you know what, I'm just feeling a bit down, I'm just feeling a bit heavy. Today I feel a bit depressed. Well, the Bible says it's a spirit. Now, let's ask this question, if it's a spirit, what is it? Do you get an angel of heaviness? Do you get an angel of depression? Do you get an angel of suicidal thoughts, low self-esteem? No, what do you get? You get a demon of heaviness. You get a demon of depression. You get a demon of suicidal thoughts, etc., etc. Now, the scriptures say, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, when we praise God, when we praise God from our hearts, when we are in an atmosphere of worship and exalting the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the Lord of Lords, what begins to happen? The power of God begins to move to deal with the works of darkness. I don't know if you've seen that in the Bible, but the Bible says that there is worship and praise in the heavens 24 hours a day. Amen? So I have to say this to you, if you don't like praise and if you don't like worship, if it feels like it gets a bit too much for you or it gets a bit too long for you, you should start practicing a bit harder, because when you get up there, you can't escape it. It's going to happen all the time. Amen? So we might as well get used to it down here. But can I tell you who else doesn't like it? Who do you think? Oh, you're very clever, yeah. The devil. The devil doesn't like it. Why? Because when we glorify God, the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit begins to move. When we enter into a proper atmosphere of worship, the Spirit of God begins to move. The Bible says when we worship the Lord, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means that when we come to a place where we truly worship with our hearts and from the depths of our being, then the Holy Spirit begins to worship through us. Who threw the devil out of heaven? Yes, okay, we say God, but who's the one that does? Okay, I'll help you to understand. Let me not just say that. Let me explain to you. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and the earth was empty and darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering above the waters. And God said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. And God said, let the waters and the earth separate. And it separated. Now, which person of the Trinity was there to do the work? Well, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit was hovering. So when the devil was thrown out of heaven, who did the work? The Holy Spirit. You've probably heard me refer to this before, but one of the titles of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is Ruach, which means the warlike energy of God. It depicts the Holy Spirit as a warrior. Does the Holy Spirit wants to make war against you? Does the Holy Spirit wants to make war against you? What about you? There's nobody in this place that can say the Holy Spirit wants to make war against me, because the Holy Spirit does not come to make war against us. But the Holy Spirit has no time for the works of darkness. One thing you must understand about the Holy Spirit, he doesn't like demons. He doesn't like witchcraft. He doesn't like sorcery. He doesn't like curses. He doesn't like evil spirits. You name it, whatever you want. And he doesn't like the devil. The Bible says there came a time in the book of Revelation chapter 12 when there was a war in the heavens. Satan and his angels fought against the angels of God, and Michael and the angels of God fought back. And then the scripture says, but the devil was not strong enough, and his place was not found in heaven anymore. I have some good news for you today. Please look at your neighbor and say, the devil is still not strong enough. You know, sometimes we have this thing that because the world is really bad and things are going down at 100 miles an hour and there's crime everywhere, there's corruption everywhere, there's things like Jacob Zuma and Julius Malema and, oh, you know what? No, the devil is still not strong enough because God is in charge. Amen? And because God is in charge, we have hope. And because we have hope, we can face tomorrow. Amen? We can face tomorrow. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Do you hear what he says? He says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Therefore, when the Spirit of God is present in a place, what is going to start happening? Well, the things that most people don't like to happen in the church. Demons are going to come screaming out of people. Things are going to happen that people might not always understand. But who is behind it? It is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we need more of that. How many of you know that God is good? In Afrikaans sê ons God is goed en die duivel is? Veil goed. You actually did go to Sunday school. That was the one day you didn't bunk, right? Yes, I'm proud of you. Yes, God is good. And I want you to know something. God is for you and not against you. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. God wants you to be the top and not the bottom. And it's God's heart for you to go forward, not backward. But now everything that I just said is also true of Satan. Where God wants you to be the top, Satan wants you to be the bottom. Where God wants you to go forward, Satan wants you to go backward. Now whose life are you going to live? God's one. Why? Because God is in charge of your life. That doesn't mean that the devil won't mess with you now and then, because he will mess with everybody. He even messed with Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen that. We all know that Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert, right? And interestingly enough, and I have to just point this out because some people seem to sometimes misunderstand or battle with this concept. The amazing thing is that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He comes up out of the water, the heavens open, a dove comes down, lands upon him. A voice speaks from the heavens, this is my beloved Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit moved him into the desert. Why did the Holy Spirit move Jesus into the desert? Because it was time to fight. You know, sometimes we have this thing, because we are Christians, because we are children of God, we should be divinely protected of the evil one. But here's the thing. We live down here where the evil one is. And God wants to prepare us for what is around us. The first thing God allowed Jesus to do was not to do a miracle, not to do a sign, not to do a wonder. He didn't walk on water. He didn't multiply the bread. He didn't heal the sick or raise the dead. Probably if you and I were God, we would have let him do that first. But here's the thing. There's something down here called the God of this world. Who's that? Funny concept, that. For most Christians, the God of this world must be Jesus. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "For if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, that they cannot see the glory of the gospel of peace," the gospel of Jesus Christ. God will not blind your mind to understand the gospel, but Satan will. And Satan is called the God of this world. Where did he get that title? It's easy. When God initially put Adam and Eve down here, God spoke to Adam and God said to Adam, "Do you see everything around you? Do you see the heavens? Do you see the stars? Do you see the birds? Do you see the trees? Do you see the animals? Do you see the sea? Do you see the fish? I give it all to you and I give you dominion over it." The word dominion means rulership, divine authority, power. Rule. It's yours. But one thing, don't touch that tree. It was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. As far as knowledge of good was concerned, there was nothing more that he could gain, because he knew God intimately. He knew God personally. He could ask God anything and God would tell him. So Satan used the one thing that was available to him. He went to man and he said, "Oh, is it true that God said you can't eat nothing from anything yeah in the garden?" Which was a big fat lie. And then man answered him and said, "Well, no. God just said I mustn't eat from that one tree." Now you see, the devil wanted to focus on that one tree. He just didn't want to make it too obvious. Because now it was man pointing to the tree. And then Satan said to him, "Ah, that tree. Did you know that if you eat from that tree, you will become like God?" It's not my place to judge Adam or Eve, because I've messed up a lot in my life and so have you. But that's where the pawpaw hit the proverbial fan. Because the moment they did that, they number one disobeyed God, and number two gave dominion and power to Satan, because they submitted to his authority and he became the God of this world. And until God gives us a new heaven and a new earth, he will be the God of this world. Does he have power? You bet he does. Is he all-powerful? No, he's not. How do we deal with him? In your own strength, you cannot. In your own power, you cannot. So how do you deal with him? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Please raise your hands if you are in this place and it is your heart for the kingdom of God to come in your life. Keep your hand up. I want to tell you something. If you choose for the kingdom of God to come, you also choose for your demons to go. Because when the kingdom of God comes, the devil has to go. Then why is it that when demons leave people, everybody gets freaked out and, "Oh no, we don't like that place. We don't want to be there. Oh, this is not right. Oh, it can't work like that." No, when the kingdom of God comes, demons go. You know, there's a lot of people that claim to be part of the kingdom of God, but they will never allow the kingdom of God to come in their life. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Het julle al ooit die Onse Vader gebid? And you? And you? Mr. Koz, did you go to Sunday school when they taught the Lord's Prayer? Can you remember it? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Okay, stop right there. Whose kingdom must come in your life? God's kingdom. And what happens when the kingdom of God comes? The power of God begins to move. the works of darkness begin to be destroyed. And it's important for them to be destroyed. Why? Because God wants us to go forward, not backwards. If you've got evil spirits working in your life, you cannot go forward. If the devil messed with Jesus, what makes you think he won't mess with you? Come on. Now, I was getting to this just now, and then I interrupted myself, but by the grace of God, I just remembered where I was going. The Holy Spirit, when he came upon Jesus in the desert, when he was baptized, the first thing the Holy Spirit did was usher Jesus, push him into the desert, because there had to be a confrontation between good and evil, because Jesus had to put Satan under his feet. You see, in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of darkness, there's one thing that will never change. It is about dominion. It is about power. Jesus could not do signs, wonders, or miracles down here until he had the devil under his feet. Because Satan would always oppose him if he wasn't under the feet of Christ. And in our lives, it's no different. There's a lot of things the devil doesn't want you to do. And until you can't get him under your feet, you can't go forward. And you know, a lot of people will have this attitude, oh, but Rian, you don't understand. God is for me, not against me. God is going to bless me regardless. No, that's not right. The Bible says to you, the believer, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, not God's, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith. It doesn't say your pastor must resist him. It doesn't say your cell group leader must resist him. It doesn't say your mommy and your daddy must resist him. It says you must. There's going to come a time in your life when you have to resist the devil because he wants to bring you down. When the spirit of depression comes against you, what must you do? You must put him under your feet. You must resist. The word resist is a verb. Okay, I don't want to get into heavy technical English stuff. But a verb implies an action. You got to do something. Can I tell you why the devil messes with most people and gets away with it? Because they don't do nothing. Sitting there with this attitude, God, can't you see how I'm battling? Why don't you do nothing for me? Is not going to change things, because the word of God makes one thing very clear. You have a divine responsibility to put your foot down and say to the devil, footsack, get away from me. You have to resist. It doesn't matter how you're going to resist. You can resist by praising and worshiping God. You can resist by rebuking the devil. You can resist by quoting scripture, by standing on the word. You can resist by praying to God. But you got to do something. The less you do, the more power Satan has over your life. There's a lot of people sitting in church, they got no life. With all due respect, just because you sit in church doesn't make mean your life is the way it's supposed to be. We got people sitting in church where when you look at their life, they got nothing. They got no joy. They got no life. They got no hope. They got no excitement. They got no enthusiasm. They're all down and all dreary and all negative about everything. And that's not right. What must we do? We must resist and tell him to go. And then, interestingly enough, when Satan confronted Jesus in the desert, in the book of Luke, I think it's chapter 4, it says, and then the devil left him until an opportune time. Did this happen just once? No. Is the same thing going to happen to us? Sometimes, yes. You know, God wants to open a door for you, but something out there wants to keep it closed. What must you do? Fight. Resist, rebuke, and you will see things change. Amen? The young lady sitting over there, yes, please come here. Lord, we praise you and we glorify you, we exalt you because of who you are. You are our Lord, you are our God, you are our healer. Come stand here, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Lord gave me a word. You are trying to change your life and you are finding it difficult. You battle. It's like there is an internal struggle going on inside of you. where a part of you wants to do the right thing and wants to walk that line. There's another part that wants to lose it and freak out and do all the wrong things. And you got the struggle. And every now and then it feels to you like you are losing the struggle. And you can't walk this road anymore. And something keeps telling you, give up, give up. See, it's not working. It's not going to work. It's not going to change. It's okay. It's going to be all right. First thing I want you to know, eyeball me. God loves you. It's got nothing to do with your past. You've messed up, so have I. Raise your hands if you haven't messed up. Now, God loves you and God wants to help you. There's a scripture that says we must not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to go into much detail with that, but I want to say to you that the Lord put in my heart that you did do something to that effect. You cursed God. You cursed God for your life. And you brought something very evil into your life when you did that. And because of this presence in your life, you take one step forward and this thing says, but you gave me power, and he pulls you two steps back. And what's starting to happen is you are despondent, you are dejected, and your life is not going far. I have good news for you. God is still for you, not against you. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. You acted out. You were rebellious. Well, Adam and Eve did the same thing, didn't they? God forgave them. He will forgive you. But we got to deal with it. Here's my question. Do you want to sort it out? Do you want to sort it out right now? Raise your hands. You pray this with me. Father God, please forgive me for blaspheming you and cursing you about my life. I am sorry. I acted in ignorance. I was rash. Please forgive me. Your word says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered and will be saved. Jesus, please save my life. Please rescue my soul from the pit of hell. I now renounce the thing that spoke through me when I cursed God. I need God. I turn my back on you. I choose life. I choose Christ. Holy Spirit, please fill me and set me free. I will no longer be a slave. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of blasphemy, the spirit that worked in this woman to curse God, I take authority over you right now. I arrest you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, spirit of the Antichrist. Spirit of the Antichrist, I arrest you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I bind you. Stop it. She made a choice. She made a decision. It stops today. It stops today in Jesus' holy name. It is finished. It is finished. No. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. It stops today. Keep looking at me. Don't look away. You are coming out of this girl. You are leaving her today. And you will not pull her back down into that pit again. No. I bind your eyes to mine. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Honor the authority of Christ. And get out of this child. Get out of her. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Guys, osia terigeto. Praise you, Jesus. You lie down. You're going nowhere. I lock you to this floor. You get out of this girl. Today God spoke to her. You know it and I know it. And it is finished. The fire of God is coming down upon you. There's no place for you to run. There's no place for you to hide. You simply leave her body. You leave her mind. You leave her heart. You leave her soul. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. God, oh, bring her a bucket. Which brings me to something that I want to talk about. She's going to be okay. God is busy with her. Don't worry. Sometimes we mess up. We do things. And then we kind of like we push it away. We know it was wrong. We try and forget about it. We push it into the dark recesses of our mind and we don't go there again. And according to us, now it's sorted out. My friend, it's not sorted out until you confront it and you deal with it. Last week when we were praying for people, I actually spoke about this, but a lot of people had left already. So I want to touch on it again. Unforgiveness. Raise your hands if people have hurt you, but bad. Come on. Somebody has hurt you. Somebody has disappointed you. They have stabbed you in the back. They have gossiped or slandered or done something really bad to your name. Just wave at me, wave at me. Right. Okay, drop your hands. When something like that happens, a lot of us, we tend to hold on to it. We don't want to let go. The Bible says, if we do not forgive our brother from their heart, our hearts, their trespasses, our Father in heaven will also not forgive us. Let me ask you a question. How many times this year have you messed up? Plenty. Probably that's true, plenty. Sin brings defilement into your life. Your life becomes a spiritual sewage farm. Could you live in a place like that? No. Without going into too much detail, I live on a plot. I have a septic tank. Every now and then it gives me problems. I have to fix it myself. I want to promise you, you don't want to work with that all day. It's not nice. But if we don't deal with what's in our hearts, we have the same thing going on in our hearts. There's defilement in us. And because we no longer receive forgiveness, it doesn't go away. We don't get cleansed. It gets worse and worse and worse. And you know what? It doesn't help you rebuke that demon or whatever, because you are the one giving it power. You have to confront that and you have to let it go. If we don't let it go, it doesn't let us go. You know, sometimes the devil wants to leave, but it's us holding on to him. Until you don't release, until you don't let go, nothing is going to change. And you know, then the devil comes and speaks to us and he says to us, oh, but you know what? You can't forgive that person because they don't deserve your forgiveness. Listen, yeah, nobody deserves nothing. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Amen? And forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision. You make the decision, and once you make the decision, the emotions of anger and hatred and bitterness will begin to disappear. You gotta make the decision. You have to say to yourself, I choose to do what's right. I speak it. I forgive you. And once you do that, things change. Amen? We praise you, Lord. We glorify your name. And how are you feeling? Tell me what feels different. Okay, come stand here with me quickly. You all better? You still going to Jackie Chan and kick me out or what? Or was that a Bruce Lee move? Enter the Dragon. Come stand here with me. Come. Say again. Oh, yeah, she was. Can't stand you. Now, I want you to tell them, while I was talking to you, what began to happen, what you began to feel, and then what ultimately happened and how you feel now.
I started feeling like my chest was really heavy. My heart was heavy. I could feel like it felt like somebody was squeezing my heart like this. And then, now I'm still...
You're still a bit not...
I can actually physically really feel my heart feels lighter in some way.
Like something heavy released you.
I don't feel that grip anymore. It actually feels lighter.
And the anger?
What anger?
What anger? That probably answers it. The anger that was coming out of you. Is it gone?
Probably, because I don't remember any anger. But
yeah. Okay. Well, praise God. You feeling better?
Much better.
Just come stand here behind her for me quickly, please. Listen here. It's not always easy to walk with God. And there's nothing in the Bible that promises that it's all going to be easy. But God does give you this promise: I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And the reward is great, because the reward is to spend eternity with Him. The devil will try and make it difficult for you. Then you've got to dig deep and you've got to persevere. God will give you the strength. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the guidance. God will give you the power. Doesn't mean that we're not going to fall. Doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It means that when we come to God and we honor His word, He will pick us up again. Scripture says, when a righteous man falls, yet seven times the Lord will raise him up. Even righteous men fall sometimes. But because we are righteous and we put God first and we want to honor Him, God helps us to get back up again. You know, when the Bible says when an evil spirit comes out of a man, he goes through the barren, dry places. He seeks rest and he doesn't find it. And then he says to himself, I will go back to the house where I came from. The devil sees you as his house. Today, we evicted him. You know, in the New South Africa, you can't evict nobody. But in the kingdom of God, praise the Lord, you can still evict things. Amen? You can evict demons. And you won't get slapped with a lawsuit. Well, praise God for that. So today, we evicted this thing. But now we've got to fill the house, because the problem is when the evil spirit comes back, the Bible says he finds the house clean, swept, and empty. And then he says, I will go back. And he takes seven of his buddies with, and the Bible says the end of that person is worse than the beginning. So now something has to happen to this house. What must happen to this house? Well, we've got to fill it. Yeah, it must be occupied. What do you think we must occupy the house with? A lot of things. Yes, that's what I was looking for. Godly things. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. What you saw happening to her was a spirit coming out of her. The demon of the Antichrist came out of her. Yes, the Antichrist is a demon. One day it will be a person that will be so possessed by the spirits of the Antichrist that that person will become the Antichrist. But the demon of the Antichrist is real. You know, when people begin to question God and there is no God, and you know, all false religions are pushed by the spirit of the Antichrist, because it takes your focus off Christ and onto something else. So now that she has been delivered from this thing, something must come and fill this, isn't it? And that is the Holy Spirit. Now, if an evil spirit can make its dwelling inside of her, surely then the Holy Spirit can also make His dwelling inside of you. Amen? And if an evil spirit brings anger and doubt and confusion and depression and blasphemy and all of that type of stuff, what do you think the Holy Spirit is going to bring? Love. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Somebody help me. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy. Patience. I think the old King James Version says long-suffering, which simply means patience. Hope. Wouldn't she feel a lot better if she has those things in her heart instead of anger and hatred and fighting and bitterness and... Don't you think you're going to feel a lot better? Do you live alone in your house? You live with your dad. Okay, you know what? Next week, her dad is going to come to church with us, and the first thing he's going to say is, who are you and what have you done with my daughter? And he's going to mean that in the best possible way. You know why? Because she's going to be different. She's going to feel different. She's going to sound different. She's going to look different. You actually look different already because you're smiling. There we go. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, it's not all bad. There's good things too. Raise your hands. Lord, I want to thank you for this girl. You already spoke to her about her life. I know that she was battling, but I do believe, Lord, that it is your heart to make things easier for her. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that came and touched her. Lord, you say in your word that when the kingdom of God comes, evil spirits will go. Today she saw that, she felt it, and nobody can ever convince her that it's not true. where this house was emptied, we need to fill it. So I'm asking you in Jesus' mighty name for the power of the Holy Spirit to come and fill this child. And may the gifts of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God manifest in her from this day forward. I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And I glorify you for that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Sandy, I want you to come forward. Today I'm not going to preach because I can feel God is doing something different. So that's a bargain, because then I got a nice sermon for next week. Come next week and I'll preach it. But today God wants to do something different. And we're going to give God the opportunity because He's in charge, not me. Praise you, Lord. Who can help me? What is the divine commission? Okay. Number one, go out and preach the gospel. It's no use you want to pray for the sick and they must be healed, and you want to cast out demons, but you're not willing to preach the gospel, because the foundation is preach the word. Why? Because the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I've met a lot of people that want to pray for people because they want to cast demons out. And they just put the person on a chair and they jump up and down and start rebuking the devil and running on like mad things. And can I tell you what? Nothing happens. Why? Because that's not how Jesus did it. Jesus shows us in the word how to do it. You preach the gospel. You bring the good news. And when the good news goes out, it prepares people for what God is about to do. The gospel is central to healing and deliverance. You've been battling with your leg. Well, it's probably a lot of things. I don't know. You know what? I'm not a doctor, but I know a very good doctor. In fact, I know the best doctor in the world. And he's been around forever. You know, a lot of the times you want to go and see the older doctors because they got more experience. I'll never forget the doctor that operated on my son Matthew and my son Michal was a doctor in Alberton. I think when he operated on Daniel, the last one, he must have been pushing 80 or something. Still working. Wealth of knowledge. Lots of experience. And my kids were perfect. Now here's the thing. The doctor that I know, I cannot even count his years. In fact, he's also your creator. He made you. He put you. The Bible says he knit you together in your mother's womb. So he knows, knit one, stitch one, knit one, stitch one. You know, he knows all of that. And he knows where he went left and where he went right. And he knows where life pushed you in the wrong direction. You know, disappointment and hurt and pain and falling over and experiencing all of these things, it affects our body. And he can put you back. Would you like him to put you back? Okay, she just said no, and I thought, well, didn't you? Yes, yes, put you back together again, yes, the way that you're supposed to be. Then we're going to ask him to do that. So bring me some oil quickly, please. But see, yes, what? I see we have a new evangelist here today. I want to introduce you to Evangelist Michael. He's just eyeballing and checking things out, because probably one day in his future, he'll do that. Enjoy it. Yeah, bless God. I remember the first day that you brought him to us, he wouldn't even sit in the church for 1 second. He was like, now it looks like we can't get rid of him. He's like, he sounds like his mother. I'm going to set up tent here. Yeah. There we go. And we are proud of him. Yes, we bless God for him. Amen. Can I tell you what he feels? He feels the anointing, and that gives him peace. And praise God that he feels the anointing and that he has some peace. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for her now, because God wants to help her. She's got a lot of pain. Last week she couldn't even come to church because she had so much pain. Probably by this afternoon you're going to be dancing up and down this place. Amen. You're going to be skipping. Yeah, prophesy. I like that. Prophesy. Please stretch out your hands towards her. Father, I thank you for what you are doing for us today and for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm in a series on the Holy Spirit, and I've been speaking about the Holy Spirit now for a couple of weeks. And Lord, I know that it is impossible to speak about the person if the person himself is not here. Holy Spirit, I know that you are here today, and I thank you that you help us with this woman. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the pain, all the uncomfortableness, all the burning. In Jesus' name, release this woman. Release her spine, release her leg, release her back. Jesus said that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he heals the sick and he casts out demons. And the Holy Spirit is in this place. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you move through her body and that healing manifests in Jesus' mighty name. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Be healed. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you and we exalt you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. There is a person here that has been battling with insomnia. You haven't been sleeping. Where's that person? Is it you again? Come. It's fine. She's probably not the only one. Insomnia. Yes, come. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, I should have just invited you all to come. We bless you, Lord. Just come and anoint them for me quickly, please. So probably today the Holy Spirit just wants to move a bit and do a couple of things. Praise God. We give him the opportunity. Jesus said, the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, ultimately, we need to get to the place where we manifest abundant life. But there's also something else that doesn't want us to have abundant life. And in the process, he is going to steal from us. Now, have you ever wondered what is the type of things that the thief called Satan would like to steal from us? Okay, well, the number one thing that the devil wants to rob you of is your peace. Because if you don't have peace, you are... Then you fight with everybody. You upset all the time. You stressed all the time. You don't see things in a good light. Your life is just upside down. That's how the devil would like to have everybody's life, isn't it? But that's not the way God wants our life to be. So, what must we do? The thief must give back what he's been stealing. Has the thief been stealing your sleep? Then he must give it back. Amen. Amen. Raise your hands. Lord, I want to thank you for everybody that is standing in the front yard today. You gave me a word that you want me to pray for people that have insomnia. These are the people that have come forward. I thank you, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will set them free. Come out! Come out! Leave her. Now. Release her. In the name of Jesus, release her. Let go. Let go. Restlessness, sleeplessness, insomnia, busyness, accelerator. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. Release. Out you go. Out you go. Get out. Get out. Now. Get out. In Jesus' name. Release this child. Release her. Hey, 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 stop it. Get out. Look at me. Get out. It's finished. And from tonight she sleeps. She sleeps well. She's the head and not the tail. She's the head and not the tail. Get out. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Insomnia. Release her mind. Restlessness. Release her mind. Get out. Release her. Release her. In Jesus' holy name. You release her and let her go. In the mighty name of Jesus. Out. 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 Go. Go. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Kaesiaso. The Lord gives me a word. You have a lot of worry in your heart and in your life right now. You worry about a lot of things. You don't speak because you tend to be a quiet person. Sometimes you bottle a lot of things up inside of you. And that's why you're not sleeping. Yes, of course, the devil will use that to his advantage because he's just the way that he is. But I have this word that I must say to you that everything is going to be okay. Things are going to fall into place. Right now, even though things are difficult, God is still in charge. And God is going to take you through this time. You are going to see the hand of God move in your life. And the blessings of God are coming down for you. Okay. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, all the worry, all the anxiety that is touching this man, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Worry, get out of his pit of his stomach and get out of his mind. Anxiety and fear, I command you to release him. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Tebe sahato ko sakahase. Kia soho sahate. Look at me. Stop it. Look at me. For both of them, it's time. Release and go. Release and go. Fire! Get out. In Jesus' name. I bless you with peace. And I bless your family with peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peace unto you. Kabayezo Shaba Tekesa. It's okay. It's okay. Come with me. Come. No. You don't speak. You be quiet. Out of the minds. It's finished. Go. Okay, that was a bit strange. I'm going to explain now. I was praying for this gentleman, and something began to happen there because it's his wife. Because they share the same bed and they go through the same stuff. And the devil is busy stealing from both of them. But God is good. Because he did something for him and he did something for her. Amen. Michael. Liewe Jesus, haal die slechte goed uit hulle uit. Sodat hulle kan beter voel. Sien jy? Het is goed, hè? Michael says it's good. Amen. All right, you battle with insomnia. Raise your hands. Look at me. I have this thing in my heart, you have a very busy mind. Your mind does not switch off. It's busy all the time. And God has to help you to train your mind because your mind runs away with you. Many times you go and look for problems. There isn't even a problem and your mind is busy creating a problem. You have a stronghold in your mind. A stronghold of worry. Stronghold of, what can I call it, apprehension. You tend to expect the worst. Many times your mind is running in directions when it shouldn't. God has to help you. The Bible says the word of God is like a fire and the word of God is like a hammer. When the word of God comes like a hammer, it comes to break down the strongholds that we have in our minds. Stretch out your hands towards this girl, please. I take authority over the strongholds of busyness, worry, apprehension, fear, dread, anxiety. I break you down. I command you release this child and get out of her mind. Get out of her mind. Today. Now. Fire. Release her. Bai do osaha de kaha shoto to hose kere derebe sarabara bazo do. I'm speaking to that stronghold. Break down, break down, break down, break down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Break, break, break. Get out of her mind. The darkness that she saw, that curse that follows her wherever she goes, the curse of death. You have to go. You have to go. Today, 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 in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, release, release, release. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at me. Look at me. In Jesus' name. It's finished. It's finished. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. That man sitting over there, please come. What is your name?
Clement.
Clement. Clement. Father God, I want to thank you for Clement. And I thank you, Spirit of the Living God, that you are busy working in him and his family's life. I want you to look at me. In your life, you've had a lot of adversity and you've had a lot of problems. Sometimes you have a feeling like there must be something working against me because I just, it's like for all the money in the world, I can't even buy a break. Everything just keeps going wrong. No doors ever want to open. It's like there's this invisible force that when you try and go forward, it's always pushing you backwards. You have disappointment after disappointment. You've encountered failure more times than you can remember. And sometimes your heart is heavy and you have this thing, I don't even know why I try because nothing seems to want to work for me in any case. The Lord says, I must say to you, son, persevere and keep going forward because your breakthrough is just on the horizon and you are going to have it soon. In this time, God has been showing you things about your life and about your family that need to change. And many times you've sat by yourself and you think, oh, you know what, maybe we shouldn't do things this way. And maybe that's the Spirit of God that's been talking to you. God uses circumstances sometimes to show us things. There's a couple of things that have come into your heart where you believe that you and your family should do things differently. Go and sit and write them down because God was speaking to you. And as you honor God and you begin to bring the changes into your life and into your family, you will also begin to see the changes manifest around you. There is something, like she said with that woman, there's something very dark that follows you. But God wants to set you free. And God wants you to go forward. So today, the Holy Spirit is going to help you. I see a lot of violence in your past. A lot of fighting, a lot of anger, a lot of violence. Temper. Do you battle with that? Come and anoint his hands for me, please. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. It's not these hands and what you can do with them that's going to change your life. It's God. There's a scripture in the Bible that says a horse has a lot of strength, but even its strength is not enough to save you. Only God can save you. Today, God is saying the same thing to you. You need to come to a place where you trust God, and God will change your life and your family's life. Amen? Put your hands together for me.
You said it's Clement. Father, I want to thank you for Clement. Today you are speaking to him directly about his life. And I know, Lord, that you are going to help him. You already said that you will. I pray against the violence. I pray against the destruction that is following this man. Ever since he was small, this has always been part of his life. It's time for things to change. The violence, get out of his fingers, get out of his hands, get out of his arms, and get out of his heart. The darkness that follows him everywhere, that causes calamity to come, it's like a vacuum cleaner. It keeps sucking problems into his life. Today is the day that you release him and you let him go. Release this man. In Jesus' name. Get out of his arms, get out of his hands, and get out of his fingers, and get out of his mind. Lord, this thing that says to him that his life will never go forward, I thank you that it stops today, and that he will see in the future, as he honors God with his life, everything will be different. Bring his wife here for me, please. Kahadegesa. Sobahande kiato kahate. Keberebe sahatadakate. Where's Uncle Ed? We should be videoing this. Are you? Okay. You work with this family. I'm not speaking to the woman. I'm speaking to the spirit. You work with this family. You're stealing from them. Yeah, I know you don't like that you're here, but you're here. God brought you here for a reason. It's time for you to stop. You have to stop. You're not going to touch that man. You're not going to touch his wife. Things are going to change. God is for them and not against them. If God be for you, who can be against you? Not you. Fire! Release them. Release them. Release them. In Jesus' name, let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. In Jesus' name, a new life. A new life. Son, the fire of God is coming down upon you and you're going to feel things begin to happen to your body. You let it happen. It's the power of God that's come down. The fire of the Holy Spirit, when it comes down, cleanses. There's a lot of iniquity that has entered into your life, and it has to come out. Today, you spend some time here. You wait on God. You trust God, and you will see how things are going to change. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, but he's peaceful. Amen. God is good. You know, the blow up that happened in your house, things have to come out. I'm going to share a testimony. Many years ago, probably about 8 or 9 years ago, I was preaching in a church in Pretoria. And the pastor there, his daughter battled with asthma. And one day after the meeting, because I was praying for people, he brought his daughter and he said, please can you pray for my daughter because she's got very, very terrible asthma. And I prayed for her and something obviously happened to her. She went home and for a time she did not manifest the symptoms of asthma. I used to preach there once a month. When I went back after a month, he came to me and he said to me, you prayed for her the last time. She was better for 2 weeks and then it looked like it came back. I said, okay, fine, let's pray for her again. So I prayed for her again. The same thing happened. She was better for a couple of weeks and then the symptoms came back. And so the third time he came to me and he said to me, Rion, I'm angry. I said, why are you angry? He says, I don't understand this. Why is my daughter not getting healed? I don't feel that this is right. And I said to him, well, you know what, there could be a lot of reasons. I mean, I'm not God, but let's talk a bit. And then I said to him, I wonder if there's not something at your house that's causing this to happen. He said, well, then you're welcome to come to my house. I went to his house. Now, when I got there,
I noticed that his wife had a fixation with, how can I call it, fairies, gnomes, pixies, all sorts of stuff, which, you know what, is tied to an element of the supernatural outside of the realm of God. The type of things that we should rather not have anything to do with. Whether you believe in them or you don't believe in them, the devil believes in them, God believes in them, and that's all that really matters. And the Word of God says, have nothing to do with things like that. So, I saw all of these things, and I said to this guy, you know, with all due respect, as a pastor, this stuff should not be in your house. Oh, no, but my wife likes this, and she's collected these for years. I said, listen to me. It's got nothing to do with what she likes or what she wants. As a pastor, you should honor God. And then we called his wife in, who had been listening at the door, and when she came in, she was in fighting mode. Because now how dare we tell her to get rid of her stuff? I said to God, oh, Lord, you must give me wisdom, yeah, because I have to talk to this woman. I did speak to her. Eventually, she relented, probably under duress, but she relented, and she said, okay, we can get rid of the stuff. So we took it outside, and we burned it. The young girl that had the asthma said to me, Uncle Rion, I have been doing karate for a very long time. Do you think this could cause a problem for me? And I said to her, yes, I do believe it can, because karate is not just a sport, it's part of a religion. And when you bow down, you are not bowing down to just anything. You are bowing down to the gods that they serve, etc., etc. And I do believe that you should release that. It was a very big step for her because she was at that stage South African champion in some age group. She was apparently very good at the sport. But she made a decision to let it go. We had a wheelbarrow, we burnt the stuff that could burn. She took her karate suit, she put it in there, we burnt it. I said goodbye, I went home. I got a phone call from her father a month later. He said to me, Rion, if you were at my house that day when after we burnt it, I would have punched you. I said, wow. That's quite serious. What do you mean by that? He says, my daughter had the worst asthma attack we have ever seen about an hour after the stuff burned. I said, okay. And then? He said, but then it cleared up. And he says, inside of him, he felt very angry because he thought, we're doing this to honor God, and now my daughter has the worst asthma attack. Do you know that the asthma attack was the way that this came out of her body? Because of the level of asthma that she had to go every 6 months for a checkup at the hospital. And they take her through tests to see the strength of her lungs, etc., etc. She did not have one asthma attack after that final one. And after that, she went for tests. And do you know what they found? They found nothing. Not only did they find nothing, they could not even find a history of asthma in her lungs, in anything. She got healed, but how did she get healed? There was one final big manifestation as it came out. Amen? Sometimes that's just the way it happens. What can we do? God is in charge, not me. If it was me, I would have done it differently, but then it wouldn't have lasted. It's best to let God do what God does, and we be obedient and we honor God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the first time that Michael has been cruising around here in the church, eyeballing everything, all happy and all excited. For those of you that don't know, Michael has autism, am I right? And therefore he has certain behavioral tendencies. But we have seen a big change in him since he has started coming here, and we've been praying, and I've been going to their house and praying with him. But Michael could not stand still like this when he came here the first time. And God has been good. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Yes, pray for Michael every day because we trust in God that not only is he going to get better, he's going to be healed. Amen. For God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Bless God. And may you and your family be divinely and supernaturally blessed. Can I ask a question? How many of you have been blessed by what God has allowed to happen here today? Amen. Then here's what I want to do. We're going to do, you remember that song that we sang? We are no longer slaves. I'm going to play that song and I want us to sing that song.
Just quickly. What? Yeah. Wait. There we go. Oh, my goodness. You feel better? Well, I can see you better because you could hardly walk when you came. Yeah, God is good. Listen, yeah, I'm not saying that we're finished. I'm just saying that I feel in my heart that we must worship God. Yes, let's do that. And then we can start praying for people and whatever. That's good. I think get the thingy ready for me so long.